You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
So tonight, this evening, I want to share with you on double portion. Amen. Who would like a double portion? Who would like a double portion? Amen. Well, you know, I think double portion is... Let me read the scripture, then I'm going to talk to you about double portion. Amen. 2 Kings 2, verse 9, the Bible says, when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so for you. What did he say when he said, I want a double portion? What did his master say? His master said to him, what you have asked is a hard thing. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's a hard thing. Why is it a hard thing? Because number one, I can only give you what I've got. I can only give you what I got. If I've only got 100 rand here and my child says, can I have 200 rand? I cannot give him something I don't have. The only person that can do that is God. Amen. Number two, if you want a double portion gifting, do you have double the character to handle it? Because if your gift exceeds your character, you're an accident waiting to happen. We see it in Hollywood the whole time. Young people suddenly getting double, getting triple, getting 10 times, 1,000 times what their character can handle. And they self-destruct. So when we come and we ask God for double, I always want to say, choose your heart. Because if you want double, are you ready for double the preparation? If somebody comes to me now and they say, I've got my own business, I'm installing DSTV dishes. Can you pray for me that that my business can double? They say, double? How many are you installing a day now? No, I'm working from 8 till 5 and I'm installing 8 dishes. So which means if you want me to pray for double, are you prepared to work at double the pace? Are you prepared to work from 8 until 12 at night if you want to do double the amount of work? Am I talking to the right people here? So sometimes when we ask for double, are you ready to work at double the pace? When... we all want to shine bright like a diamond, amen? We all want to be a shining, bright, beautiful diamond. But if a diamond is formed under pressure, so even when you pray and you say, God, shorten the time for me to be a bright, shining diamond, what are you actually saying? You're saying, put double the pressure on me so that I can become a diamond quicker. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Lord, shorten the time to get me ready for what you want to do. And then suddenly you feel under pressure. Now it's getting very quiet. You still want double? Turn to the person that you say, do you still want double? Ask him, are you sure you want double? Because double gifting means double the character. Verse 14, then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. The only way to be effective in what God has called you to do is to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. He knew he had to face Jezebel. He knew he had to face Jezebel, and he said, can I have double? If you read, you'll see he did 8 miracles, and Elisha did 16 miracles. He did double the amount of miracles. The sad thing is, his servant Gehazi was supposed to take over from him and do double the amount of miracles. But his character had a flaw. He had a love for money. And instead of doing 32 miracles, he ended up with leprosy. But let's not go there. Elisha was a man of authority because he was under authority. For years, he was known as the servant of Elijah. When you want a double portion, who have you served that you've qualified to ask for a double portion? Many today, when they've just held up the arms of Moses for one session, afterwards, they want to grab the rod out of his hand and say, it's mine. They want to grab the rod of authority and say, I've held up your hands. I want the rod. It's mine. He waited patiently. When you look at his life, he went the extra mile in serving, doing things that was not even required of him. Being a cupbearer, throwing water in for him. Can I just leave this with you? Think about this. Asking for a double portion is Old Testament. You don't see anywhere in the New Testament anybody asking Jesus for a double portion. You don't see it anywhere. Do you know why? Because Jesus is the fullness. The fullness. When you've got him, you've got a full portion. Amen? You cannot ask for a double portion of holiness. You cannot ask for a double portion of righteousness. Am I talking to the right people here this morning or this evening? Hallelujah. Well, it's morning somewhere else. In America, it's morning. Amen. For those listening there. You cannot ask for a double portion of righteousness. Righteousness is righteousness. You cannot even grow in righteousness. Because by default, if I say I can grow in righteousness, it means that in God there's a portion that's not righteous. You cannot grow in holiness because then there would be a portion that is unholy that you can grow and become more holy. You can grow in the revelation of holiness and the revelation of righteousness. But you cannot grow in holiness. You either holy or not, or you're either righteous or not. You either hold the position of righteousness in Christ Jesus, or you don't. Give the Lord a hand. So Colossians 2 verse 9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Jesus Christ, the fullness of God, the Godhead, dwells in him bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. So when we become part of the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head of that church, and we are the body, the fullness of God is there. And it's ours. So you cannot ask for a double portion, I believe, under the new covenant is what I'm submitting to you. Under the old covenant, you could ask for a double portion. I suppose you can ask for a portion that rests on a man to have double of that. But why would you want to ask for that if you... Why would you ask for your dad's 200 rand note in the wallet if you can have the card and the pin with everything? If there's say there's 10,000 rand in my wallet. It's not 10,000, but say there's 10,000 rand and my son comes and says, Daddy, please, can I have double portion of what's in your wallet? Huh? What's wrong with you? Why do you want double portion of what's in my wallet? You've got the card and the pin. Just go do what you want to. I hope I'm helping some of you here. We have the Spirit without measure. We have to make sure that we are filled with the Holy Spirit under the new covenant. Amen? We have to make sure that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I just say this? If we are going to take a city for God, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want to take this city for God with us, we need people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how we're going to do it. We need deacons. We need hostesses filled with the Holy Spirit to go into the city and to make a difference. Amen? Not the spirit of a man, the Holy Spirit. Acts 6 verse 3 says, Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we have appointed over this business. And we will give ourselves continue to pray and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and all the other people there. You can take your time and read those names. Amen. Can I just say, just put the names back on there quickly. Who of you know who's Prochorus? Who of you remember that name apart from seeing it there now? Who of you remember Nicholas apart from this? Timon apart from this? You don't remember them because it's not recorded of the great things that they did in the power of the Holy Spirit. People that are filled with the Holy Spirit, you remember them. Peter, okay. Who of you can name the 12 apostles? Okay, don't raise you, okay. Let's start. Who can you remember? Peter. There's the Peter. Why? Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's so filled with the Holy Spirit that his shadow heals people. You remember Paul. Why? Because Paul's handkerchiefs also healed people. Maybe then you remember James, Jesus' brother. Okay. What I'm trying to say is, people that walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, you remember them. Because there's something different about them. There's a different spirit about them. And they said, these people, choose people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. You see here, Stephen went out and he preached the gospel and he got stoned. But the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can see his face was shining when they were killing him. Philip went into a city on his own, a deacon. A deacon started preaching the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, healing people, delivering people, that a whole city was filled with joy. That's what one man can do, filled with the Holy Spirit, can bring joy to a whole city. Why do you want a double portion if you can have the full portion? Acts 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. You know what's the most beautiful thing about this? This is a deacon that went in the power of the Holy Spirit and God used him supernaturally. He caused revival in a city. Do you know what happens today when a deacon goes to a city and causes revival? He tells the church, you stay there, this is my city, this is my revival. Says, who do you think God is using? Me. That's the attitude of people today. But not these young people didn't do that. The Bible says when the apostles heard, and it wasn't that somebody snitched on them. There wasn't WhatsApp or Facebook or something. Philip had to send a message and say, listen here, this revival in this city, can you send some apostles to come and pray for the people? Because he was under authority, he handed it back to them and he said, what do you guys want to do? Turn to the person next to you and say, under authority. Can you see why God cannot trust people with the power to heal and to deliver? Because they'll take the glory for themselves. If you're going to impact a city, you need a servant's heart. If you're going to impact a city, you need a servant's heart. Peter was a man under authority. And when revival broke out, he handed back authority to Peter and John. Why? Because what he preached to them, is what I shared this morning. They received Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. They got saved, but they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. And he knew, I wanted this guy whose shadow is healing people to come and lay hands on them that they can get filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, let an apostle of a church lay hands on you. Because when you're under authority, you have authority. But many people, they were never released under authority. And now they try to do God's work in the power of the Holy Spirit. But there was no obedience in what they did, so they don't have Holy Ghost. But when you're under authority, you have authority. And God gives you the grace to do what you have to do. All these men in the Bible, I said this morning, Ananias, when God spoke to them, they said, yes, Lord. When the Lord gave Elisha the grace to have a double portion of anointing, just think about this. Just think for 1 minute. Now God has graced you. You're in a church, you've walked with a man of God, and now God gives you a double portion of anointing. You think you're going to start doing double miracles immediately? No, no, no. He's first working on double character. Do you know what he said to him? He says, you with a double anointing, go to the brook Kedron and be on your own. Crows are coming. You can talk to the crows when they bring you food. How faithful have you been with your double anointing sitting still next to the brook? You have a double anointing. You know what God says? You with a double anointing, go to the widow and let her help you. Let me tell you something. That is the most difficult part. Then you know that you're anointed by God when you say, yes, Lord, when you have to go to the widow to help you. You all look so serious. Turn to the person that you say, don't be so serious. Say, we're talking about the anointing. We're talking about joy. We're talking about happiness. Am I helping some of you here? We're not asking for a double portion. We're saying, God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, prepare us that we can walk in that. So that we can go change a city. But Lord, when you've sent us, we can say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Can you be obedient and say, yes, Lord? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You with the double anointing, go to the to Kedron and just sit there. Crows are coming to bring you food. But Lord, I'm the double anointed man of God. Yes, I know. Just sit there and wait. Preach to the crows. Lord, I've got a double anointing. I should do a crusade. No, just go to the widow. I want you to go do one widow, go help one widow. No, Lord, I must feed the masses. No, go to one widow. If you cannot be obedient in the small things, why should God trust you with the big things? If God cannot trust you with the small things, why will He trust you with the big things? Let me tell you something. Those that have words over yourself of being financial channels, and you're waiting for the million or the 10 million or the 100 million contract to give your first tithe, I just want to say, enjoy the wait. It's not going to happen. Because if you cannot give 10 rand with the 100 rand that you've got, or give 1 rand with the 10 rand that you've got, why should God trust you with a million? A matter of fact, if you're a financial channel and you're serious, go read what the widow did. She gave what her life depended upon. Not to get anything from God, because she loved Him. She gave what her life depended upon because she knew that her life did not depend upon that. Her life depended upon Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, if you wanted to ask for a double portion, do you have double the character for that? But what I would suggest is the prayer that Paul prayed, let Christ be formed on the inside of you, so that you can handle the Christ anointing. Amen. The challenges that we are facing, we don't need an Elisha anointing. We don't need an Elijah anointing. We need the anointing that comes from above. Amen. We have the fullness of the Godhead available for us. Amen. So whether we're in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, and we want to change a city, we need a servant's heart. Elisha had a servant's heart. Peter had a servant's heart. Paul had a servant's heart. Amen. If we're going to change a city, people are looking to see if we have the Holy Spirit. That means they want to see if we are living holy lives. If you're going to live a holy life, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. I think I'm one of the very few pastors that when I pray a sinner's prayer, I've got a second part to the sinner's prayer where I say, help me, O Holy Spirit, help me to live a holy life well-pleasing in your sight. You cannot live a holy life without the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot. If you're trying to do it, forget it. I'm closing with this. Peter said, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. To be holy, to live a holy life, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Can I say, when He says, be holy, for I am holy, He is just saying, be obedient. Turn to the person next to you, say, this is the revelation and the interpretation. Be holy, for I am holy, simply means be obedient. Be obedient. Be obedient and be holy. Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. He's saying, pursue holiness. If you're not pursuing holiness, you're not going to see God, without which no one will see the Lord. I can throw in Matthew 5 verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So if you're not pursuing holiness, you're not going to see God. Because our God is a holy God. Amen? Our God is a holy God. So when He says pursue holiness, He's saying pursue obedience. Pursue forgiveness. Pursue making this the standard for your life. What He is saying, pursue the Holy Spirit. Guess what happens when you start pursuing the Holy Spirit? Acts 5 verse 32. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey Him. So if you want more Holy Spirit in your life and you want the Holy Spirit to remain with you, become more obedient to His word. Your will be done, Lord, not my will. Your will, not my will. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.